The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the podcast on Stick Boy, Joshua and William Arthur with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How goes it?
Joel, it is going pretty good, although unfortunately we have to start off with some very sad news as the passing of another wrestling legend has happened today. Pedro Morales has passed away at 76. He was a native of Puerto Rico. He's one of the first WWE champions ever. He beat Ivan Koloff at MSG. He had the title for almost 3 years. And he held the title for over 1,000 days until he lost it to Stan Stasiak in December 1973. I always kind of remember Morales just as far as trivia. He's always one of those names that stuck out to me when you go through and you say, who's the first WWE champions? And he's Pedro Morales is always one of the first to come up to my name. Obviously, I didn't get to see a lot of footage of him, with him really being before my time and debuting. He debuted at the age of 17 and returned in the WWE in 1970 and then captured the title then. So obviously before my time, but obviously a major impact on the world of professional wrestling.
The connection to the WWWF is growing thinner and thinner. I believe Backlund and Billy Graham are the only two left that connect that time period, and potentially the Iron Sheik as well. It's as time goes on, those guys start to fade away with time, and it's sad, and it's good to respect the history of the past. And the guys that came that led the pathway to make WWE what it is today.
Absolutely. So we here at One Fall send our thoughts and prayers to the family of Morales. And yeah, it's an unfortunate passing. And good point to you as well, Joel, is connecting how far back to like the WWF. And sad to see a legend that doesn't get his due in this entry and this era as much, but sad to hear about that passing. I wish I could divulge more, but like I said, it's just before my time, so unfortunately can't get into as much about that, but obviously know his place in history as a legend.
Yep.
So moving on, let's move on to Monday Night Raw this week and the saga of Becky Lynch, where...
I was going to say... I described this to you in text, and I'm going to describe it again.
Yes, good job.
We were laying on those train tracks. We're getting ourselves free, and we're thinking, oh, it'll be Becky and Ronda. I think it's going to be Becky and Ronda. We knew that train was coming of Charlotte. We knew it was coming. It was going woo-woo down the line, but we thought we got out, and then train just hit us, and we are now just a bag of meat that's flown in the air, red mist spray over as Becky's not even in the main event for WrestleMania anymore. It's Charlotte versus Ronda. That's gonna stay permanent, right?
Yeah, I don't think it'll stay permanent, but it just, number one, it's amazing that people are mad about everything and this is women's wrestling. Like, again, round of applause if we're at this level, that Becky is the biggest star of the show and that she feels like the biggest star of the show and she can close it. And we're not even thinking anymore like, this is the woman's angle. What are they doing? It's just a good angle. So thank God for that.
Yeah.
I'm just a stern, really quickly, Joel, I'm just a stern believer in main events should be one-on-one, not triple threats, not four ways. It should be a one-on-one match.
I don't know. I think we've seen really good triple threats in the past.
No, but for the main event. And yeah, Sean and Benoit and Hunter was great. But I think for the main event of Mania, it needs to be a one-on-one match.
I don't know. I do wonder if this is just a little bit of adversity and then they're going to have Becky beat Charlotte and then it just goes back to one-on-one. But I do figure that this is... You know when I said that you should build Ronda up as the corporate champion and have her be a heel. I don't think Ronda wants to be a heel. This is pure speculation, but I think Charlotte's been brought in to take all the heat off Ronda. I don't think Ronda likes being booed. I don't think Ronda likes being a heel.
No, we saw that at the end of her UFC career. It was a very emotional thing for her when she lost to Misha Tate and she lost to Holly Holm. She didn't lose to Misha Tate, but she lost to Nunes. But the chants that were pawned upon her for Amanda Nunes and when she lost to Holly Holm, those really affected her. And we saw her out for a long amount of time. It's hard for her to be looked at as a bad guy.
Yeah, and I think this is honestly a reaction to that. Charlotte has gone full heel. She will be the heel in this match, and Charlotte in all likelihood will eat the pin one way or another in this match. I think she's going to, well, she could also very well win this match as well, because that would be a very Vince McMahon thing to do. Because, I mean, we've seen the last two or three main events for Mania have been subpar. Mm-hmm. 32 was boring with Hunter and Roman. 33 was Roman and Taker, correct?
Yeah, and if that would have been it for Taker, I would have liked it as like a long... It was not a great match, but I like the idea of taking out a Yeller and all that kind of stuff, and then the end with Taker. Had that have been his last match, I would have been completely fine with that, but obviously it was not his last match, as he would face Cena last year.
Yeah.
And face then, Cena, I see that in quotations.
And then the main event with Roman and Brock and what that was, and Brock's response.
That was a shit show.
And Brock throwing the title. We've been disappointed the 3 years running, and I'm hard-pressed to say that that streak's going to be broken again, and I would not be shocked if Charlotte or Ronda left with the title. I think everyone wants Becky to win, and it'd be a tremendous moment to have Becky win, but I don't think the company wants to have footage of Becky over Charlotte or Ronda getting the first.
As about win. This, I don't know for sure if this is the main event anymore.
I think it has to be. I think this has
to be. I wonder, though, if Seth is going to have this moment with Roman and Ambrose, if that's the closing shot of the Shield.
Yeah, because that would be the last time they would be together for potentially quite a while, for many years.
Yeah, that's. I'm starting to wonder if that is the main event now.
I think if you can, if you run with that, then that's something that you, obvious that makes sense to go with. But I think this angle is way too hot to deny it.
Oh, I agree. I think it should be the main event. The question is, will it be with them? Like, will they pull the trigger? And the way that Becky's getting booked and everything, it probably will be, but it wouldn't shock me with that being the main event. If Vince gets cold feet of, like, you know what? No, we're going to put Brock in the main event.
Yeah, because that's safe. Safety net for them. I disagree with that call, but, you know.
We disagree with a lot of directions they've been making, especially to this bumpy road to WrestleMania so far.
Yeah.
But we're starting to get an idea of some of the matches, though, a little bit. Like, I think tonight we found one WrestleMania match. I would put, like, an exclamation point on it after the finish of tonight's one of the matches is that we're going to get. And I'll get to that when we get to the Chamber preview. But I haven't liked any of this Becky stuff. I haven't liked the apology stuff. I haven't liked the hitting the McMahons. It's all ludicrous. I'll get to where I think it's... Do you want to get to where you think this is going in the Chamber preview or right now?
Let's go. We're here now. Might as well talk about
it. Sure. I mean, obviously, Charlotte said she's sitting ringside for the Ruby and the Ronda match. It's obvious Charlotte's going to get involved in that match. And you'd have to assume that Becky's going to get involved in that match as well somehow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And poor Ruby, she's the match got announced on Twitter. It's an afterthought, and it's basically a foregone conclusion that Ronda's going to win. And I just that sucks, but I think Ronda can go off and Ruby can go off and deliver a good showing. I think Ruby's...
I think so, too.
It's just a shame that this doesn't have a little bit more build to it.
She's had less build than Natty did for her TV match with Ronda.
Yeah. And this is going to be part of a pay-per-view.
Yeah, the match really, unfortunately, again, it really means nothing for Ruby. It's really just a backdrop to do more stuff with Charlotte and with Becky. So that's super unfortunate for Ruby because she's super talented and she's definitely one of the most underutilized performers they have right now because she could be just as hot this time next year. She has that ability.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting where this all heads because I imagine the Riot Squad will be will probably have some form of gold on the tag titles. I'm just interested to see where they all go and where Ruby ultimately lands. But think I agree. I think there's going to be a lot of back and forth, and Vince is going to be heavily involved in this until we get to. And it that tells me right there with Vince being involved that in all likelihood this will be the main event because Vince doesn't get involved in just anything.
Yeah, that's a good call too. How do you see Becky getting back involved? Do you see it is a match at Fastlane where if you beat Charlotte, you're in kind of thing, or where do you think it all goes?
I don't know. It's obviously going to be a triple threat. Maybe there's a little bit. Maybe this causes a little mini feud between Hunter and Steph and Vince. And there's a little bit of them feuding with each other on who's going to be in that main event. Maybe it'll be WrestleMania 2000. We'll have a fatal four-way where each McMahon will take a corner.
So Hunter and Steph taking Ronda makes zero sense. But I guess this is the WWE where things don't need to make sense. We've learned that.
No. There's no logic. But in all seriousness, I think it'll probably be Becky wins her way in. She has to earn it again, even though she won the Rumble. I think she'll earn her way in, and then that'll be the build from there, is these three. And Ronda will play the sympathetic baby face of like, well, I just wanted to face Becky. That's all I wanted. I don't want Charlotte there, and I'm going to beat Charlotte down so that I can have my match, and Charlotte will continue to be the corporate heel.
What if Becky actually was just suspended for 60 days?
And it was the main event was
Charlotte and Ronda. She's just suspended for 60 days. That'd be kind of funny.
I wonder what the WrestleMania crowd would do. I wonder how the crowds would behave, because we've seen one rowdy WrestleMania crowd absolutely devour one main event last year.
Yeah.
So does that happen again if you do that? There's a lot of interesting factors in all this.
It would be very interesting if they just kept her off TV till Mania. That would be very, very interesting. And then somehow she gets back in on the day of Mania. Obviously, it would never happen. If you wanted to build her up and have like this huge pop for her, that's the way I would do it. I just wouldn't even have her go on TV anymore.
Yeah.
And then she somehow gets in that week, and then we're good to go.
See, my thing is, they should have done this sooner, because Becky was never formally involved in the Royal Rumble, and you could have had something where Finley wasn't the decision maker. That had to be a decision by either Hunter
or... That's where we thought it was going.
Yeah, and then they never did. I felt like they missed a perfectly logical reason to insert Charlotte into this.
Yep, she was the real winner. You weren't actually supposed to be in there. Or they could have had, like, her and Lana have a fight because she took Lana's spot or something. But it's the logic book with WWE, and we can't really make any ins or outs about it. So it is what it is.
I don't think you should try to really figure out WWE booking, because that means you're getting in the mind of Vince McMahon, and that could be a scary place.
I just haven't liked the booking for any of this, Becky. It's so obvious. Like, that... From when they had that promo, when it was announced that she was going to pick Ronda, and they had the back and forth, and it was Ronda's best promo she's done to date, and they had the back and forth, you had everyone set in, everyone was ready, that's the main event, you're good. And then you put all the extra BS around it. Even the interview yesterday in the backstage with her and Ronda talking was so unnecessary. Really, the only one of those that kind of worked was the Bliss one, just kind of being like a snarky heel. Kind of worked a little bit, but... The Ronda one with her backstage did not work at all.
No, you the had Finn one
that
did.
Perfect. Yeah, the Finn one did. Sure, that one worked. But this whole last week and a half, it's definitely not hurt Becky. I'll say that much. It hasn't hurt her, but it just was super unnecessary. You had everybody in the palm of your hands. It felt to me like last time I remember like that much buzz of someone looking at each other was like, remember when Taker and Hunter had that stare down, and it was like, yep, let's do this. I want this match. Or Cena and Rock.
that stare down, just as far as some recent ones. And when Rhonda and Becky just had that stare down, I was like, yep, I'm good. Nothing else needs to happen to this. I'm ready for this.
Yeah.
And they just flubbed her up.
It just, they found a way to make it too complex.
They did. So that's where we are with the Becky thing. We'll see how she gets involved this coming Sunday on Elimination Chamber. We'll get back to WWE. There's a few rumors and stuff before we get to the Elimination Chamber. But Japan had a had a few big things happen this week, Joel.
Oh, boy. I did not expect what we got. I did not think that would happen. But here we are. Jay White is your new IWGP Heavyweight Champion. He Tanahashi went for a high fly flow, and it was more turning into a crossbody as Jay White was going to get up. Jay caught Tana, hit him, and then that the 1-2-3, and the crowd was shocked. But this is the new era of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Kenny Omega is officially gone from New Japan, and unless New Japan wants to do business with him, that's the only way anything can happen. But Jay White has ascended to the top already. And a very he's the anti-Okada in all this, where he is, Okada did something similar, but we generally like Okada. We're not supposed to like Jay White. So yeah, weird. I guess the hairspray and duct tape finally fell apart for Tanahashi.
They finally did. I mean, you and I had kind of been like, you know, Goto, when he books something and he really wants to push somebody, he really goes for it. But I was actually surprised by, like, how much he really did go for it. Like, he went all the way with it, and Jay White's now the champion, and the Bullet Club have a champion again.
Yeah, they're the only leader of Bullet Club not to have a title is Phineas. He never was.
Yeah, I guess so. He's talking about his leaders.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's crazy. I mean, obviously, it's still weird. Like, when I saw, like, Bullet Club, he joins Kenny Omega and AJ Styles as members of the Bullet Club to win championships. It's still weird because I don't think of Jay White as the Bullet Club. But I guess that's because we're in this new era of Bullet Club after the Bucks and Kenny had dominated it. Yeah. It's weird to think of, like, the Tongans. I know the Tongans have been there for a while, but, like, the Tongans and Jay White and this new era of Bullet Club.
Yeah, I guess it means when you get managed by Gato, you're going to win a title.
Yeah, it does.
And you should have done it sooner.
You should have. I wonder, too, if this will help, like, replenish, like, what Bullet Club is.
Yeah, I think it will.
As well. And I think that's, I mean, one of the reasons they wanted to get a title on him, too, is obviously Bullet Club shirts have dipped a little bit in sales because the Bucks and Marty and Kenny and Cody and the Elite aren't attached to it anymore. And I was surprised. I definitely thought for that MSG show it was gonna I thought they may go Tanahashi and Okada because that's, you know, the first big show Japan's had there, and that's the go-to match. But now it's gonna be Jay White, and maybe it'll be Okada, maybe it'll be Ibushi. I don't know who he's gonna face.
Yeah. Well, we know that we're going to get the, from all indications, and I believe it's been confirmed, but the winner of the New Japan Cup will go on to challenge the IWGP Heavyweight Champion at MSG. So
which
we are
Ibushi's
getting
in.
And Ibushi is in it. And it's always been said that if Ibushi would finally stop being a flight risk, he would he could potentially ascend to the top of New Japan and be one of their big stars. Well, he's no longer a flight risk. You no longer have to worry about him getting lost in America too often, because Kenny's comments about him coming to AEW are out the window because Ibushi signed a 2-year deal with New Japan. And it's funny, because if you listen to the interview Kenny Omega did with Dave Meltzer, and then he talks about, yeah, no, I think Ibushi would be a great roommate. I'd love to. I'm looking forward to having him come out here. I think he's got to do stuff with his wrestling school, which the first lesson of Ibushi's wrestling school is how to fall on your neck and get back up.
Fantastic.
The second lesson is jumping off a balcony. And each level you graduate, it gets a little bit higher. It really seemed like Kenny was genuinely excited about Ibushi being there. And then he goes and signs a 2-year deal with New Japan and says he hasn't thought of Kenny all that much. So The Golden Lovers are broken up again.
Yeah, that is unfortunate, especially with the Kenny Omega documentary coming out now in 10 days in Canada.
It's in March, the 27th.
It's in March. I thought it was in February for some reason. No,
March. I've got it.
Maybe I have the Larry Walker one in my mind right now.
Maybe.
But yeah, it's absolutely devastating that the Golden Lovers are broken up. And yeah, I guess my point is, when the Kenny doc happens, how much will things be different in our minds of where that relationship is and how much they use in the documentary?
Well, it's funny because you see clips of Kenny's house and he's got pictures of him and Ibushi, and he's got like a stuffed Ibushi doll bear with a Kenny bear. And it's Golden Lovers everywhere, and it just, this hurts. This hurts as a wrestling fan.
It does. But if he can end up getting the big win down the road here, then that'll be amazing. Ibushi's one guy we're rooting for. I was hoping that it would be Ospreay and him in the rematch, so now I don't know that's going to go. But if it's Ibushi and it's Jay White, that would be an interesting main event. Maybe is Okada in the Japan Cup?
I believe he will be. I don't think all the participants have been announced yet. So Naito seems to be vying. Everyone seems to want this spot because I think realistically everyone knows what Japan is more than likely going to main event the MSG. And that's an important main event to be involved in. I have a feeling it's going to be Okada and Jay. But I could see a number of different people being in that spot. I still think we'll probably see Ibushi and Ospreay, because I think Ibushi will be used to help elevate Ospreay, and I think they'll become bitter rivals. I think that'll be the story. That could be one of the matches that headline the Dome show, one of the two Dome shows next year.
Yeah, and I also think out of that we're going to probably get Jericho Tanahashi.
Yeah. I think Jericho's going to work. I'm surprised Ring of Honor would allow that. And I mean, Ring of Honor could still put a squash to that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot.
Is Marty and Magnus, is that on MSG or a different show?
That's on April 27th, I believe.
That's a different show.
Yeah. So I imagine that'll be how Marty goes out before he either goes to NXT or AEW.
And Jay Lethal, I saw, like, broke the ROH belt or something.
He broke Matt Taven's title.
All right. Is that the match that they're going towards? Is Matt Taven and Jay Lethal?
I think so. I think that is where we're headed.
At MSG?
I believe so.
Okay. Well, that should be interesting, to say the least. What, do we know what Marty's doing?
No clear directive for the villain.
So that'll be interesting. But yeah, I guess just the big story is I'm really shocked that Jay White's the champion. He's a guy that really started getting his buzz after the New Year's Dash show last year. And now he is the new Japan champion. Yeah. It's crazy, like, how long Okada was champion. And now within like less than a span of a year, we've had three different new Japan champions.
Yeah. Dominion, we went to Kenny to Tana, and then Tana to Jay.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And I wouldn't be shocked if Jay faced Okada at MSG if Okada won there.
Yeah, although I could see Jay winning, and that could help really solidify him as... Jay's not going to be the guy, but he's going to be one of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
I do think ultimately one of the big matches is Naito and Okada.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
It's going to be interesting. You suddenly have more eyes on Japan again. There's a lot more buzz, especially heading into this G1 show, the MSG show, the G1 Supercard. And all the new Japan Cup episodes will be in English, so you can follow along with what I believe to be Kevin Kelly. So you can follow along and find out who's going to go on to challenge for the IWGP Heavyweight title at MSG, which is crazy to think is going to be happening.
It is. Get to some rumors and stuff before we get to the big pay-per-view this week. Story that broke this afternoon, this evening, Dave Bautista, Joel. It was reported by Pro Wrestling Insider that Dave is ready to come back to the ring, and he has had conversations with both WWE and AEW
and he's looking to come back at Mania or Double or Nothing. So he met, though, with WWE personnel last Thursday, and there's still no word of where anything will go, but there's conversations, and he would like to return to the ring. He's going to be filming Dune soon, so that will obviously hit into his wrestling debut. So that's why I imagine Mania is the place where he's going to go, because I'm imagining Dune will be a longer film shoot. If you kind of know the lore of everything that movie is, I believe David Simon had a lot to do with the original one. So we'll see. I mean, at one point we thought it'd be Triple H and Batista, but we know Triple H has his shoulder, collarbone?
Peck.
So I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe he'll get his match with Titus that he's always wanted. I don't know, but Jericho posted a picture today with him, probably just trolling, but this whole thing with Batista is very interesting.
It's one of those things where the company has mistreated Batista so much and has constantly devalued what he's done outside of WWE and devalued him when he was actually wrestling for them. So it's a constant plethora of just mismanaged moments that I wonder if they're just going to be like, oh, you're talking to AEW? Well, you can go to them. You're not that much of a draw, so we don't really care. I could honestly see him doing a match in AEW. But I could also see him doing something at Mania. I mean, that Jericho picture means nothing. But at the same time, it could be something that they set up for Double or Nothing. That would be a big name to get.
I mean, we have the jokes of the Bucks and Cody saying they're the executive producer. The biggest gun they have right now to try and talent is Jericho.
Yes.
Because he's been in those locker rooms. He knows what they deal with Vince, because he knows what he deals with Vince. And he is the draw to outdraw them, because everyone has his number. I can't guarantee everyone in that locker room has the Bucks number. Maybe some have Cody's number. But they don't all have the Bucks number, but they all have Jericho's number, because he was just there a year ago.
Yeah, he could definitely be, you know, when we always thought he was a double agent in New Japan, trying to get all these guys into WWE. Well, when you say no to the Jericho Cruz, your double agent becomes a triple agent, and you might be in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah. Speaking about guys that could be in AEW in the future, Dean Ambrose, last night, you know, he cut a pretty short promo before beating EC3. The reason for that was, but
50-50 originally was booking.
Sorry?
50-50 booking.
Yeah. Originally, the promo was supposed to be a longer promo, still turning Dean babyface and talking about the Shield and what him and Roman had built together and, like, bad decision of him turning on him and what Roman and him meant to him and, like, a bad state of his mind and all that. And they instead just changed it to the simple line that you had of Slay the Beast.
I liked it. I liked the simple line.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to blog it all up by having this extra long dialogue right now about, I did this for this reason and this reason. Just have him turn face. There's no need to have a major conversation about it. Just turn him face and just move on.
Yeah. And he's no longer wrestling Nia Jax, so.
Oh, no, he's not. That got pulled?
Yeah, that got pulled. And they apparently said that that was never the plan. That was some miscommunication thing. Blah, blah, blah.
I don't believe that for a second. They did TV ads for it. You know how much work has to go to TV ads?
Well, yeah, because you have to have a voiceover guy read that Dean Ambrose is taking on Nia Jax.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think that there was a miscommunication. I think they just got cold feet and decided to renege, because someone called and complained, and they're like, oh, well, gotta change that.
Kevin Owens. Nice piece by him. Nice piece the WWE brought up of him saying he's ready to go in a month. So possibly we could be getting Kevin Owens at WrestleMania.
I'm okay with that.
I think a lot of people, I think everyone, there was the funny thing about that is he had a Blackhawks hat on and everyone's like, oh, so you're a Blackhawks fan. How can you do that if you're from Montreal? And he's like, I'm not a sports fan, damn it. And he's regretting wearing that Chicago Blackhawks hat today.
Yes, yes. He's picked
Habs fans are vicious.
Yeah, no kidding. He just picks up hats as he goes along. He likes hats and picks it up from towns that he likes, and it just so happens he decided to wear the Blackhawks hat. Yeah, no, hockey fans are crazy.
Yeah, they are. Adam Cole and the Street Profits, they'll be working some Evolve shows this week, so continuing those that they've had there. It'll be interesting, though, is that so Adam Cole is going to be going against Shane Strickland, which should be a really fun match. And then Montez Ford and D'Angelo Street Profits, they're going to go against DJZ and AR Fox. So that should be a really cool match, especially since it looks like DJZ is there now, and same with Strickland. Anyone that's been in Evolve, it kind of seems like the developmental before the WWE. And Shane Strickland's a big free agent that anyone that can get him would be super lucky. And he's been WWE rumored for a while. He's no longer connected to Lucha Underground. But we'll see where all this goes. But him and Adam Cole, at the very least, will be a really fun match if you get a chance to see it.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be anyone's going to be WWE may look at that AR Fox. But there's a few guys. This is just Evolve is that next step into WWE. And mix it. Sending these guys to do stuff like this is always good, because these guys get to work different, get to work differently for a little bit, get to go back to do some indie wrestling, and just it keeps them busy, it keeps them fresh, and it also keeps that that feeling with Evolve shows that anyone from NXT could show up.
And at the Performance Center, just a few main signings. ACH is now in the Performance Center working with WWE. And the other big one, I guess, is officially Rachel Ellering's with them.
Yeah, and Trevor Lee.
And Trevor Lee, and then two girls that I'm forgetting their names, but they were involved in the Mae Young, and then one football player as well. And then a tag team from Australia that's a big deal down there, and then one other tag team.
Yeah, they're picking up Aussies left and right now.
Yeah, and shouts to Ospreay, because Ospreay was the one that went down there and really started to find, because I think Bree Paisley, his girlfriend, she's an Aussie, and he made the goal to really want to burst that scene up. So
yeah, I don't know how much he's done for them recently, but
not recently, but to open it up, right?
Yeah, kind of get the tap in, and I also think with WWE traveling down there last year helped get the ball rolling on things.
Anything else as far as the new stuff?
You know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about OTT very quickly.
What's that?
Over the top wrestling, there was a it was circling around online, the 7-minute video.
Oh, right, you love that piece.
Oh, that was great. Just from a video production standpoint, and just from simply telling the story, I've shown that to a few wrestling fans, and it's just like, I understand what's going on. Like, this is perfect. This is exactly what you need. Like, I know why these guys are feuding. I know why this match is happening, and I'm intrigued by this. I think they deserve all the shout praise. Homecoming 2 will be, I believe it's coming out on the 17th of February, so that, and then it'll be out a few days later on the OTT wrestling website. So I think I'm going to check it out, because the main event is also Walter versus Pac, and Devlin and Star are facing each other for whoever gets to face Walter. So I think they've got some good matches. Osprey's on the card as well. MJF, as our lovable little scamp from BTE, is on that card.
Him and Conrad have one of the best non-wrestling feuds of the year right now.
So you got a lot of talent there. Yeah, I really like this. I really enjoyed the build. I really enjoyed the Walter and Osprey video package that they've done. So it's just one more thing. And David Starr is a guy that I think AEW or NXT should take a look at.
Absolutely. Before we get, because I know you want to talk about the updates to the AEW card, Hall of Fame stuff. There were some rumors about the Hart Foundation last week. Those have kind of died down. I don't know if they're upset about Brett being a star cast or not. maybe that could be something. I don't know. But it's February 12th, and we have not had a word on the Hall of Fame yet, which is very bizarre.
You know, you're going up against the MSG show that night, and you haven't unleashed any gun, like, you haven't released any info on it. So if I'm a fan going to New York, wink, wink, I think I'm going to pick the MSG show, because I think I'm going to get a better showing from there.
My prediction, bold prediction,
is one gets announced this Monday because of something that comes out on Friday.
You have to.
I think The Rock is coming out on Monday.
Will they Monday?
I am going to double check that really quick. But Fighting With My Family, which is getting really good reviews, a high Rotten Tomato score. You'd have to think that The Rock would make an appearance at some point about this, right?
You'd think. But if the movie's getting good buzz, then maybe he doesn't have to. Maybe he's busy with other things. Rock's busy guy.
I know he's a busy guy.
He is so busy, he couldn't agree to host the Oscars.
Yeah, it's in the Cajun Dome in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Maybe. But I have my doubts.
I don't think anyone would predict The Rock to be in Louisiana.
No, but that could be a pleasant surprise for the
viewers.
Where's
Elimination Chamber?
They just said it on SmackDown. I forgot.
Well, actually, you know what? So stupid. I have the card in front of me. Doi.
There we go.
Yeah, so the card is in Houston, Texas.
Texas, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. So we'll see. I don't know. I think that's the one if you're going to take a shot at the Japan card. That's the guy. Did we mention last week the Undertaker stuff?
No.
We mentioned I think we mentioned the booking fee, but I don't think we mentioned the taking off of WWE and social media.
That wasn't true. He never had WWE on.
Never had it. Okay. No. I had seen that going around and I wasn't sure if that was true or not.
From what I've heard, he never had it, so it's a non-story.
Right. It is interesting. Like I still think we're going to see him at Mania, but it's a weird story with Taker right now. Stuff. Like, do you think he's mad at WWE over anything?
I don't think so either. I think he's just done. He gave everything to that company, and I think just health-wise, I just don't think they're going to have him keep going.
Well, unless he wants to come in May to the new Saudi Arabia show that was announced.
I mean, it's totally possible. The Saudis pay well.
AEW,
double or nothing. We have 5 matches on the list so far. I think we'll probably get another 2 or 3 announced. Right now, we've got confirmed that Hangman Page will come into full gear, and he will take on the incredibly shredded Pac in a singles match. Imagine that will probably be later announced for the AEW heavyweight title. SoCal SCU, Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky, and Christopher Daniels will take on Chima and 2 members of the promotion from Oriental Wrestling Entertainment, OWE. So we'll get that'll be a nice showcase for them. Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho 2 will happen. The 2 new matches that we've got is we've got Dr. Britt Baker versus Nyla Rose versus Kylie Rae in a triple threat match for their women's division. So that should be a fun match and finally get to see that. And thanks to the Double or Nothing YouTube show that Cody puts on, we've seen that Cody is set to be in a singles match versus TBA. It's a blurred face right now.
Billy Gunn.
The other speculation is Dustin Rhodes, his brother.
Do we know his contract with WWE?
No one knows that, so that is all purely speculation. For all we know, he could face the Blur from Smallville. So anything is possible. The card's shaping up and it's looking decent. They sold out, Josh.
And we also have to assume, too, Lucha Bros versus the Bucks.
Yes, Lucha Bros versus the Bucks is another good one.
MTF and Janela.
Felix had a neck contusion, so he's not in bad shape, but he definitely needs a couple weeks off. But he should be good for May.
Right. And sorry to interrupt you on that, but I guess we're also assuming MGF versus Janela.
Yeah. Where MGF will probably get the win because he's...
Is this going to be some kind of turn and Conrad is really going to be like MGF's like manager at some point?
I hope not. I really hope not.
Conrad keeps on saying he's not involved with AEW, but I think he is involved with AEW.
I hope he's involved in with it just being the StarCast. I hope that's where his involvement ends.
Mm-hmm. It should be interesting. I do like the mini feud between him between the two of them. I hope that there's something to wrestle where MGF takes over for Conrad for one episode.
That'd be great. I don't know what Pritchard would do, though. He'd probably stress him out.
Probably. So any other news and notes before we get to this card?
Seth is willing to sell his soul, so I mean...
And he doesn't like cursing.
Nope, he's a good Christian boy.
He doesn't like Becky cursing. He's better than that.
Yeah, because he's Seth frickin' Rollins.
So, 7 matches so far in this card. I'm imagining that is definitely going to be at least 3 more matches. I'm imagining there's going to be a pre-show match with the Revival for somebody, possibly Rude and Gable. And just because I mentioned that is, what a tag match that was on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, just a home run.
They did a great job of that, and good for the Revival to get it. I think this is leading up to Zach and Kurt winning in the pre-show at Mania. I mean, it'd be great if they could win in the if they could have that on the main show and have that's how the Kurt Hawkins thing ends. That would be the best.
Yeah.
But I think it's safe to assume where the tag titles are going. It's Hawkins and Ryder at Mania.
Yeah.
Any other match that you could see that's on the pre-show that's not announced before we get to that?
Nothing comes to mind.
I mean, I guess there's nothing with Rey and Andrade.
Nothing yet. Maybe they're just going to save that for Fastlane.
Yeah, there's nothing with them. There's nothing with Nock and Rusev. And maybe they're just saving them as a tag team.
Maybe.
I don't know. But, I just assume that there's going to be some pre-show matches on here. Because right now there's 7 matches, and I think these are all make the main card. But we'll start from the bottom to the top. Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin. Catch the action.
Just sign me up for a 30-minute Iron Man match of this. I'm all over it. Braun wins here?
Sure.
Do we really care, though?
Kurt comes out. McIntyre comes out. Gone show. Could be turned into a tag match again.
Teddy Long lives on in the WWE.
I'm assuming this is leading to some kind of tag with Kurt and Braun.
Yeah. I think that'll probably be what the Mania match is.
He went from having a super young tag partner to a super old tag partner.
Man, I don't know how Nicholas is going to feel about this.
He's not going to like it. Intercontinental handicap match. Leo Rush and Finn Balor. Leo Rush and Bobby Lashley versus Finn Balor. And it's been fallen since Rumble.
So this will be, they'll cheat to win, and this will set up Finn getting a win at Mania.
So what's the Fastlane then?
Oh, God, I hate how many pay-per-views they have.
My favorite theme to Joel is, yeah, that's great, but there's Fastlane. And you're not the only one. I think I've heard Meltzer and Brian run into this, and I think I've heard Way and John fall into this. Everyone's forgotten about Fastlane. It's like, yeah, no, that's a great idea for Mania, but Fastlane's still a show that has to happen.
Can it just be a show where Vince reads bedtime stories?
Yeah, it'd be great, but there's really no need for Fastlane. There's just no need I love that eight weeks to Mania. I love the slow build to Mania. And putting the Fastlane in between there, it's the Fastlane to WrestleMania, it's the speed bump to WrestleMania.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's half the reason I don't have the WWE Network right now to WrestleMania, because there's no need to have that pay-per-view. This one, there's some stuff, but Fastlane... surprise me. When we get to do the pod, make me say, like, yeah, you should have the network for this pay-per-view. But yeah, I agree with you. Bobby and Leo win by some nefarious means. Ronda and Ruby, God bless Ruby. I think she's a talented, talented young woman. But this is just going to be a gone show. Ronda will win.
Yes, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind that Ronda will probably win quicker than usual, too.
Yeah, Buddy Murphy versus Tozawa. For the Cruiserweight Championship.
This will be fun. This will be a fun match. I think Buddy retains. Keep his momentum heading into Fastlane, because that's where we got to go next. God.
Yeah. Tag titles. Mick Miz versus the Usos.
Mick Miz retains.
And then the Usos win a fast lane?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd put the titles on the Usos. They could be a flight risk.
They could be, but it just, I guess this match just depends when you think the Shane and Miz turn is coming. Yeah. And I haven't seen enough this month to really think that the turn for either is coming yet. And maybe so, that's what they want you. I don't know.
Yeah, so I was going to say that's probably what they, that's when they're going to do the turn, is when it least makes the amount of sense to do it.
What's the main event to you, Joel? The WWE or the women's tag?
WWE.
You think that's going to be the main event over the women's tag?
Yeah.
You sure?
I think the women's tag is weaker right now. Just
I agree, but this history.
Sasha's shoulder is, she re-aggravated her shoulder injury. So.
And they're starting the match. Fantastic.
So she's just going to get knocked out.
Okay, well, let's go with that then. The Women's Tag Team Championship. Oh. Nia and Tamina, which was a super awkward promo today, where Tamina kept on wanting to talk, and her and Nia kept on talking over it. So Nia hurts people's talking ability, too. The Riot Squad of Liv and Sarah Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan, Mandy and Sonya Deville, The Iconics, Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, Sasha and Bayley, Boston Hug Connection, and Naomi and Carmella. Joel, who do you got?
What's their names? Oh, it's the Riot Squad, Logan and Liv. I think they need it.
So I'm down to two teams. I mean, you could see this Bayley and Sasha thing happen, but like you said, I do worry with this injury stuff, right? I also know they like to have their first times come up quite a bit, so I could see them loving this Sasha and Bayley thing for the first time. I'd also like, these are women that have to be on both shows, so they have to be good. that's the problem with this match. There's not many people that do that. Sarah Logan is a fine one. So I guess it depends too. What do you think Nia is doing at Mania? Like, is she?
It's Nia and Tamina. Who are we kidding? They're gonna win.
I like Mandy. Like mine. I think the Iconics have an outside chance. Because of the team that they are. I think that's kind of why you look at the Riot Squad as well. Mandy and Sonya, because they really want to push Mandy quite a bit. I just, if they're going on both shows, though, they obviously want Nia on both shows. So I'm going to say, I want to say Sasha and Bayley, but Sasha's, if it wasn't for Sasha's injury, I would say Sasha and Bayley, but I'm going to go with Nia and Tamina.
Yeah, I think that's a safe pick.
Yeah. It's going to be a like JR used to say, a bowling shoe ugly match.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason why they don't want to end the show.
Who's the third best worker in this match? Sonya?
Yeah.
Who's the fourth best worker?
Oh, I have Naomi? Yeah. Well, I'll probably put Naomi third, Sonya fourth.
Right. Right. And then fifth, I don't want to get into it.
No.
Ooh. Yeah, like it's Sasha, Bayley, Naomi, and then Sonya. That I can feel comfortable being a good match. And then after that, I mean, Carmella has gotten a lot better.
Yeah, yeah.
She has a lot of little things down. But, yeah, Billy Kay and Peyton, as much as I love them, they're not good in the ring. And that's the thing I hesitate with them having the titles. WWE Championship. The new Daniel Bryan defends against AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, Samoa Joe, and the recently added Kofi Kingston taking over for Mustafa Ali.
Man, this is why you got to be careful when you take boots from Randy Orton and get thrown out of the ring by Nia.
Yeah.
He's taking a lot of beating, and I mean, he told WWE reportedly that he was all good to go, and they wouldn't let him go. So, Ali's been a trooper, and I think he's a tremendous talent, and I think that this is merely just a little speed bump on his road to success.
Also, I think, so we had the, we're coming off seeing the gauntlet on SmackDown, which I think I can confirm in Sharpie, a Mania match out of that tool.
And what's that?
Randy and AJ. I think I'm going to put that in Sharpie now.
I don't know. We still got Fastlane, buddy. They could do it at Fastlane. I know.
They could do it at Fastlane, but I don't know where Brian's going, but.
You know where I think Brian's going more and more now?
Well, I
You predicted it from the start, and maybe I think they put Kofi into this match because it's a jump start on stuff.
I think that I would not be shocked if every day both Big E and Xavier aren't in Vince's office going, Kofi should have a title run. Kofi should be in the title match. Kofi should be in get a title run. Just constantly badgering and berating Vince. Not for themselves, but for this man that has been a veteran, that has sacrificed, that has had the highs and lows. His career was DOA, and then being part of the New Day, it should have been DOA, but it wasn't. He lasted for the ring in almost a whole hour in ring. We saw him fight and never give up. He is a guy that the crowd is behind. People like New Day. They do great merch. If you're looking at a guy that is a draw and can help create some buzz, the New Day is that. And I think them challenging Brian for the title, specifically Kofi, at the grandest stage of them all would make a lot of sense.
I'm pretty sure, Joel, this is the first WWE title match that Kofi's ever had.
No, I think he's probably done some Elimination Chamber matches that have challenged for the title, but...
Maybe. I know there was the one that Edge took him out of.
Yeah. I think he did one beforehand. He's always been floating around, and for him now to be at this point, I could see Kofi, Harper and them taking... not Harper. Rowan taking Kofi out. And causing him to building a feud where it leads to Harper and Rowan backing Brian, and then the New Day standing behind Kofi. And I don't know how that match finishes at Mania. That I could be way off base, but I think that would be a tremendous Mania match and a good program to do because Brian's.
By the way, his first name is Kofi.
Yeah.
Just a note there, but. Yeah, I don't. There's not many. I will say, there is not many times he's been in a WWE title match, and he's one of the longest tenured guys there. I can at least assume if he does do Mania, which is not going to confirm yet, but he's never had a one-on-one WWE title match.
I don't think so. So this would be a tremendous showing for Kofi Kingston. I think he had a tremendous showing on SmackDown. I think that absolutely deserves love and praise. Because he wrestled a great match with Brian, he wrestled a great match with Joe, and then he wrestled an all right match with Jeff Hardy. Hopefully Jeff doesn't do... This is the one time where I'm like, Jeff's not going to do anything crazy in this match, because I don't think he physically can.
Yeah, I think Jeff's done after Mania. I think he's just pushing himself to one more Mania.
Yeah, and I think that's
it. Really, I don't see three people... I'm pretty sure Brian's going to retain in this. Only people I see as any threat to this and possible Mania opponents are Joe or Kofi.
Yeah.
I don't see AJ or Norton because I think they're facing each other now. I don't see Jeff. But I could see Joe and Brian at Mania. But Kofi makes a lot of sense. I do have Brian retaining.
Yeah, I do as well.
Either one of those guys maybe getting a surprise win would not shock me.
No. I could absolutely see that and then build to a really good program, build to a rematch at Fastlane, and then build to WrestleMania.
Even what they did with Joe tonight, they kept Joe strong.
Oh yeah, they made Joe look like a killer.
So there's Elimination Chamber. It's not a bad show. It looks okay on paper. To a degree, I mean, I guess really though, there's two matches that really you really care about, and then Buddy and Tozawa should be fun.
Yeah.
Match is predicted. It's going to be a nice B-level pay-per-view.
Yeah, you don't have to go out of your way to see all of it live, but it'll be nice.
You come for the botchamania of the women's tag match.
No kidding.
I like all those women. I think they're great, but not in ring. A lot of them are, and in a match like Elimination Chamber, I guess with the plunder it helps, but it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, this is gonna be an interesting watch. I'm interested to see just how this all goes.
Okay, anything else, Joel?
No, I think that's it.
All right, well, everyone, until next time, cheers.
I'm sorry, but you have been suspended for 60 days, Josh.
Okay,
Enjoy the day, people.